Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
And good morning, Holland Zealand. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is the 4th of July weekend, and it's a pre-recorded show. Kerry and I are off for the weekend.
For the weekend with our families.
With our families. So,
absolutely.
I know this is July 6th, but again, we're off this weekend. And today's show, Kerry, is being brought to you by Mary Jo Borman Law Offices. Mary Jo Borman is an estate planning attorney located in our building at 123 East Main. You can contact Mary Jo at 616-772-2487. That's 616-772-2487. Or visit her website at www.bormanlaw.com. That's BOERMANLAW.com.
And today, listeners, we're going to be talking about the inheritance conversation. So if you're going to be inheriting money, or grandparents out there listening, that things that when you pass on wealth, what things you need to start talking about. But first, we have a number of questions here, and we have always a Social Security question of the week, and then other questions that listeners have written in throughout the week. And if listeners, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us in a number of different ways if you have questions. The first way is just call our office, and that's 931-1223. That's 931-1223, and that's right in Zealand. You can go on to our website, which is www.cooleygodfrey.com, KOELEGODFREY.com. And I know that there's a link there that will drop a note to us, or you can email us directly at CooleyGodfrey@LPL.com, KOELEGODFREY@LPL.com. So great questions this week, Jack. The first question is, what do you think?
Can I receive Social Security if I am still employed? Survey says.
Well, when you reach full retirement age, you can continue to work. That's always a given. You can continue to work without negatively impacting your Social Security benefits. However, there are some caveats. Jack?
Well, the caveat is it's your full retirement. Kerry, your full retirement and my full retirement are two different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're retiring today, the full retirement is 65.
Mm-hmm.
If you're me, who's going to retire later,
mm-hmm.
my number's 66, your number's 66 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know your full retirement number. So let's just say you want to retire early. You know, most people think they're going to get to 65, 66 to retire. Guess what happens? They retire at 62.
They do.
But
yep.
If you retire at 62, and I warn people about this, if you retire at 62, you're taking about a 32% hit on your Social Security.
From your full Social Security,
it would
be about 32% less, and that's where that number stays.
Yeah, actually it's 25, but 32 is, if you wait till you're 63, it's 8% more. 63 to 64, it's 8%. I'm going to 66. You get 8% more. But if you do retire early, it's about a 25% hit on your number. So let's just say you're going to get $1,000 per month if you waited to full retirement. 25% hit is $750 per month. But over time, that adds up.
Mm-hmm.
So the question was, can I receive Social Security if I am still employed? Well, at 62 this year, if you make over $15,000, I want to know the number, $15,100, that's kind of what the number is, pretty close to that. If you make over that, every dollar you make over that limit, you're going to have a 50% charge back that's going to come out from your Social Security check.
So every $2 you earn, a dollar goes back.
That's a 50% penalty.
Ouch.
So that's a big number that you're going to have to pay. And if you make something, you know, if you're at full retirement, again, it's some people this year, it's 65, it's 66 for me, 66 for Kerry. You make anything over 15.5, you have to pay a tax if you're under. But if you're full retirement, you can make as much as you want. So I had a lady in the office today, Kerry, and I know we're pre-recording the show. But we talked about her waiting till full retirement and then taking money and then still working because she didn't have very much put away. And then, you know, she was going to get about $1,500 a month. You can pay a lot of bills off at $1,500 a month clip if you're disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people start getting the money, they start blowing it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, yeah, they just figure, hey, I'm going to do my traveling. I'm going to take it now. But another factor enters into this, Jack, and I know we've talked about this before. You need to look at the person and your health and your genetics and history there. I know for my father, he decided to take it earlier just because of knowing his parents and longevity weren't there. So he decided to take it early, but he also continued to work. And the way he did it is being a business owner, he reduced his wages so he stayed under that limit, but then he increased the rent on the building to him, which didn't fall under income. And so he was able to still work and work when he wanted, basically. So there's different strategies you can use. And for my dad, that was the strategy that worked for him.
Yep. Question number two. If I'm wanting to invest on my own, what is the biggest recommendation you would have? That's a big question.
Yeah. Well, and if you wanted to invest, first thing, even before you invest, you need to have a budget and a plan. You need to know what your income is. You need to know what your expenses are each month and build into that budget a savings plan that will set up an emergency account, that will put money into a retirement account. Those are some of the first things you could do. And if you wanted to invest on your own, some of the best places to go is, you know, I'm not promoting or saying anyone's better than another, but there's a lot of online websites that you can go to, be it E-Trade, Fidelity, a lot of places that you can go and you have access to any investment out there or almost any investment out there is a way. But there's a lot to learn. And, you know, it starts with budgeting and doing a plan.
Well, first thing that I think, Kerry, is what's your risk tolerance? And that really depends on, you know, what your thought process is. You know, we run a lot of financial plans, and we'd like to take people's current statements and put those into a financial plan. And once we do that, it comes up with what kind of risk you take. So I recently had a client that said, well, I'm not aggressive. And I looked at his portfolio, then what do you call all stocks and growth? That's an aggressive portfolio.
Yes,
no bonds. You know, he just didn't have any income in his portfolio. I says, well, I'm not picking what you need to be. That's up to you. But your portfolio comes up with the name aggressive growth based on what you're bringing in here. So if you say that you're not aggressive, then we need to come back and say, let me show you what growth in income is. Or just growth and what aggressive looks like. And then they go, oh, wow, I guess I've taken a lot of risk. But when you can show people in black and white what they currently have and what the risk is, they don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
So you have to know your risk tolerance. Then, as Kerry said, you have to know what your budget's going to be. And we always say, you know, go where the match is first. If you get a match, husband and wife both get a match, you have to do the match first.
And what Jack's saying about the match is if you work for an employer that has a retirement plan and matches, if you put in money and matches some of your money, you have to do that. That's free money. And you don't want to miss out on that free money because if you put a dollar in, the employer matches you a dollar or 50 cents on the dollar. That's a 50% return on your money. And you could put it in the safest bucket in that 401k plan and you're making 50%. That's a no-brainer. You have to do that.
Right. So the question is, if I'm wanting to invest on my own, what is the biggest recommendation you would have for us? One, where's the money coming from that you're going to invest? Where you're going to invest? And we always say, first thing, emergency plan is first. I mean, that's a good investment in your future. Because a lot of people, once they need money and they have nowhere to get it, they start doing crazy stuff. Now, if you're under 59 and a half and you take money out of an IRA, traditional, and some people have in their plan, their actual 401k plan, that you can take money out and borrow against it. So, you know, where are you going to get this money from? We always make sure that you have enough emergency money where you don't pay potentially penalty plus taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a long-winded answer to a short question, but It's risk tolerance, it's budget, it's what's the order of investment. So there's a lot to think about.
Oh, yeah. And the question is a short question, but it's a loaded question. So, hey, our last question here that we're going to be covering, listeners, written in. I just realized that I didn't take my RMD last year. I turned 70 in January last year. What do I need to do? Any penalties?
Well, here's the rule. The rule says in your first year of taking money out, which is in your 70th and a half year, so let's just say you were born July 1st.
Okay.
Well, guess what? That goes on this year. You're 70 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just say you were, 70 and a half last year. Well, last year would have been your first year, because I just had somebody that happened to. And I said, you get a free pass your first year, because sometimes it's a strategy. And here's a strategy. If you're 70 and a half last year and you didn't take it, you still have a free pass. This year, the market's up. So you have to take last year's and this year. You can only do that once. Only in your first year can you take it twice. So the market's up substantially, so they actually gained.
Mm-hmm.
They get to keep more in their account. But this person, what we did was, in their first year, they didn't realize they could do this. It doesn't really matter your first year. But anyway, this answers the question. Turning 70 and a half, you don't have to take your first year, but you can take two next year if it works. But what I propose to this person is they actually donate to the church and donate both years. And donate, so the church gets it in 2013, but the church is going to apply it towards a 2014 contribution, not for IRS regulations, but for what they're going to contribute.
So it counts as an RMD for the person gifting it.
Yep.
The person gifting it does not pay tax on it, because the money goes directly from the donor's account to the church, and the church does not pay tax on it, and they get the full benefit. So they get about 20% more money.
Yeah, in this case, it was actually, they had needed to take out RMD about $6,000. So you take 25% of that. Guess what? That's $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
So would you rather give a dollar away, or would you rather give 75 cents away? So you have to get some of this stuff. But again, you're required to take an RMD at 70 and a half, but you can defer that 1 year and take two RMDs, year one and year two of the first 2 years.
Yep. So with that question, you can... You have a free pass the first year, and there's no penalties.
No penalties.
Now, once you start it, and if you miss a year, there are penalties on that.
50% penalty.
Yeah.
Large.
Yep.
Very large.
Very large penalty.
Yep.
So great questions written in dealing with RMD, and there's strategies behind how to take RMD. And, Jack, just a question I have. Do we know that donation to the nonprofit, to the church, is that a year-by-year thing?
It's a year-by-year thing.
Okay.
It's not a law. It goes year-by-year. And it is actually, it was approved last year late. It was approved last year late. So it was approved in January for last year. So typically people have already done all their donations. So it's approved for 2013, all 501(c)s. But it has to be from RMD.
Yes.
You can't be 62 and take money out of your IRA and give it to the church. You could, but you don't get a tax deduction.
Yep, has to be RMD.
Yeah.
People 70 and a half and older.
So if you want to write in questions, you're able to do that. Questions at 616-931-1223, extension 4. You can write our office at CooleyGodfrey@LPL.com. You can go to our website, which is www.CooleyGodfrey.com. Lots of ways to ask us questions. We get questions all during the week, and it really works out well for you to write us calls. We answer questions from listeners all the time.
Yeah, absolutely all the time. And hey, we need to let our listeners know too. Today's show is being brought to you by Borman Law Offices. And do you have an estate plan? If not, here are some reasons why you may need one. In a will, you can name a guardian for your minor children. A trust allows you to control how and when your assets will be distributed and avoid probate court. And you may want to designate a patient advocate to make medical decisions for you if you are unable. Mary Jo Borman can help put this in place for you. So if you need to get a hold of her, you need an update to your will, her number is 772-2487, and her office is located at 123 East Main in downtown Zeeland. Hey, listeners, we're going to be right back to talk about our show, The Inheritance Conversation, and this is a pre-recorded show, and so we're going to be right back after the break. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley
and Jack Godfrey. We'll be right back.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is your host, Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. WHTC Money Matters. Today, we're talking about inheritance conversation. That's our show for today. But we want to remind listeners that today's Money Matters is being brought to you by Borman Law Offices. Mary Jo Borman is state planning attorney located in our office at 123 East Main in downtown Zeeland. You can contact her at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at bormanlaw.com. If you have an estate problem, please talk to Mary Jo. If you are looking for a guardian for a minor children, if you have any trust issues, you want your trust updated, you want to know how to control assets, avoid probate, you might want to designate a patient advocate or make some medical decisions for you. If you'd like Mary Jo to help you, you can call her again at 616-772-2487 about any estate planning questions.
She's awesome to work with. And, yep. Hey, you know, when we talk about inheritance and the inheritance conversation is something that's very near and dear to Jack and our business because we encourage our clients to have this conversation, and we will help them through that. And there's a couple different ways that people approach this. Sometimes it's the parents having to talk to the kids and bring it up, but a lot of times – the parents don't want to talk about it, and the kids need to try to talk about it. So, you know, you need to look at it from both angles, but bottom line, it comes to both parties getting together and talking about it. And one of the stories I like to share with people is, this is a number of years ago, I was able to go out to visit a client of mine at their farm, and over the course of a number of years, I said, hey, we need to have a family meeting. And the family meeting took place at their home, and I brought in pizza. Grandma or mom made the dessert, which was awesome, and we had all the kids there, their spouses, and we had all the grandchildren except for one, I think, was there. So it was a great meeting, and the meeting was for grandpa and grandma was not just about how money will pass on. It's about values, passing on what this money can do and the value, and just passing on good savings values, what grandpa wanted to pass on. So, you know, the parents initiated this conversation, and we drew all the kids in, and it was a great meeting. And, you know, it just knows things that, you know, that things will flow smoothly, and there's not a question hanging out there when it comes to their finances in this case.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different strategies to have the inheritance conversation come up. You know, you and I, Kerry, take the same strategy as we will host a family meeting. We will go over how children, grandchildren are going to get the money based on their trust, their desire, and their will. And then we can tell them, you know, what the rules are for IRAs, for Roth, step up in cost basis, a lot of different things we get to talk about, and we could be perceived as you know, not mom and dad. We never talk about how much you're going to get. We always talk about how you're going to get it. Again, Roth IRAs, how are you going to get property? What's it mean to take money out of IRAs? What's the distribution rate out of IRAs? That's a great conversation. I've done quite a few, Kerry, like you have. And they all turn out really, really well for both the parents and grandparents, depends on who hosts this, because they're relieved because they don't know the rules the majority of the time. And this gets the conversation started. Mm-hmm. You have to have a conversation. And especially when mom and dad or grandpa and grandma are still alive, they can give, again, the kids and the grandchildren, you know, give the old finger up and say, this is what I want done with my money. And not that they're reading it for the first time after somebody dies, but again, they get to hear it from mom and dad. This is what we'd like you to do with things that we're going to leave you.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
So, oh, it is. Yeah. It is. And, you know, when you think about parents having conversation with kids, you know, I think of myself. And it's a gradual process, you know, with my boys because they're younger. They're 14 and 11. And it's a process that you're not going to dump everything on them at once. At this point in their lives, we're teaching them about the value of working, how to save, how to pay for Christian, pay for his cell phone bill, you know, and so we're teaching them some of the basics of, you know, managing a checkbook and how to save money, how to put money away for school or for saving if they're saving for something. So, you know, you have to look at, are your kids ready and are they at that point where they could be responsible enough? And in our case, no, they're not ready for the full disclosure. They're ready for bits and pieces over time. And in our case, we have set up that if something happens to both Kim and I, we have, of course, appointed that in certain orders that the kids will have a guardian or people to take care of them, and then the estate and the trust will be managed by them with the help of a financial planner, and they will work together to make sure the kids are taken care of. So in this case, there's no way that the boys are going to understand what a trust and what a will and all that stuff does, but it's a gradual process. As they get older, things will change.
Well, and we need to talk about that too. You know, we have a lot of conversations with people. When was the last time you updated your trust? And they think, or will, and they go, wow, it's been a long time. Well, they did not have children who were married when they did this. They did not have grandchildren when they did these. And we go back and say, wow, you need to update this because you have other parties now associated with your kids. So one, you got grandkids, mm-hmm. you have to account for them. And one, you have your kids married to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's your intent to leave it to the son-in-law, daughter-in-law, or do you have intent to leave it to your grandchildren?
Mm-hmm.
So things like that get really mixed up and convoluted as you go.
Oh, yeah, and that's why it's so important to update the will, the trust, all of that as you go. You know, because I know in a case of, you don't want to tell your kids too much either because, you know, they could become lazy. They could, you know, you take away their work ethic, being responsible for things. And I know that what Kim and I have written into our will is that the children, the boys, will get the money at designated ages, not all at once, not at age 18. You know, it will be gradually distributed to them because as they get older, I believe we all learn to be more responsible, and it's just talking about the age and being responsible. So it's something that it can be a little tricky at times, but we really feel comfortable, but we can also make changes if we need to.
Yep. One thing that, you know, in that inheritance conversation is we always need to be aware of taking care of the people downstream. That would be, again, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, mom or dad, if they're still alive. And you also need to think about special needs people as well. That could be a child. That could be a mother or father. That could be a grandfather. So you need to think about, you know, when you talk about inheritance, who's going to be taking care of the people before you and after you. That's what you need to be thinking about is all the people that surround you. If I die early, what effect does that have on other people, and how are they going to get our money if you're married, or my money if I was single? You need to, you know, have these conversations with your wife, and what's the strategy as your children and grandchildren get married? Who is going to be the person taking care of your financial affairs?
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to be the person taking care of your medical needs?
Which is very important.
Which is very important. You need to change those periodically.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, because I know right now on that form with us, it's Kim's parents, but as they age and pass away and we're still living, we'll have to decide who that is going to be next in line. So all those things need to be changed and updated. Now, talking about kids, if you're out there wanting to approach your parents about inheritance and what's happening, because sometimes parents don't come to you, one of the things that I suggest or easier things to do is drop your own financial plan first and get your will and your trust done. And then you share that with your parents, which will kind of help initiate and break the ice and maybe get your parents talking about it. I just think it's a good strategy to approach it. You're not going up to your parents saying, hey, we want to know what's going to happen with inheritance when you die. And, you know, a lot of times that will close the door. But if you say, hey, mom and dad, we need your help on our will and trust. Here's ours. Here's if something happens to us. Here's where you're at. And it will open that doorway and they'll start talking about it.
No, absolutely. I mean, that makes good sense of who's going to initiate this. And, you know, we're pretty good in our office of sensing the dynamics in a family. And lots of times we will request a family meeting because I think it's time, especially where people have a lot of kids, kids that are scattered all over the place. And sometimes we see an opening of 4th of July, Christmas, special birthdays, anniversaries, where they're all coming home. And I said, Jesus, if I can just get an hour of their time to discuss how they're going to get your money, and I always review it. You know, we usually have a presentation made up that's involving personal things that evolve around them. And to review those ahead of time, of course, make sure nobody gets embarrassed. And we're talking about the right stuff if there's any issues that are off the table. But, you know, we provide a copy of this to every child who attends, which, you know, it's a good worksheet. And some of that is even evolves around taxes. It just evolves around taxes.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work out? Who gets to pay the taxes? And taxes are a huge issue. And sometimes people inherit money, especially in IRAs, where it's all taxable, unless it's a Roth. It's all taxable. And some people make a foolish mistake to say, just send me the money, and it jumps them to maybe one or two tax brackets. They don't get that. And they don't think they're going to pay tax on mom and dad's IRA.
Yeah, and IRA money, which has never been taxed, is always taxable. You know, as you proceed down the road in talking to your parents, you know, ask the parents about their concerns. I know one of the biggest concerns today of parents is out, and I think of my parents, I mean, is outliving their money. Are they worried about this? Their health care, their long-term care, nursing home, you know, find out, you know, and that you're, let them know that you're looking after their interest, and they're going to start to feel more comfortable in sharing more with you. You know, that those are conversations that, you know, we're kind of maybe rushed a little quicker than what my brother and I thought they would be, but we had at least talked about them a little bit, so that when that time came to get my folks moved into assisted living, it was a little bit easier transition. I know it was still hard. There's nothing easy about it, but it made the conversation go a little smoother.
No, that's right, and it's important to, you know, when you talk about inheritance conversations with mom or grandpa and grandma, is to get family values, as you started out this conversation, carry family values that you can put on tape that grandma talks about or grandpa talks about, and things that they talked about. You know, Carrie, my grandparents were born in the late 1800s, 87, 89. That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents were born during the Civil War. I mean, just to talk to these people and pass down, you know, what was that sleigh ride like going to church? You know, what was that like going to, you know, to town and with just a horse and buggy? What was it like not having electricity in your house? You know, what was it like not having a bathroom in your house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are all things that your kids, Carrie, could not imagine, some of those things that went on 110 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, things we take for granted. And,
yeah,
you know, look how much the cell phone has changed over our lifetime.
Oh,
it's gone from a big box to something that's as small as your wristwatch almost.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just amazing. Our kids are growing up with that, and that they just take that this is normal. You know, I still go back to, it's so important for you to have a will, a trust, a plan out there, and to start talking to your parents about that early on and not rush into it, but do it gradually. And, you know, the way that I still like to introduce it is when I had my will done, I made sure that my folks had theirs updated and asked them the last time when they updated that and if there needed to be any changes. So, you know, listeners, we're going to take a short break here, and you're listening to WHTC Money Matters with Carrie Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey will be right back for segment three.
Listeners, welcome back. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Carrie Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Our show today is being taped. It's going to be running over the 4th of July weekend, which is going to be actually July 6th. Can't take any calls today, but we're talking about one of our favorite topics is talking about an inheritance conversation. But We want to remind listeners, Kerry, we have a very important workshop coming up.
Yes, we do. And this is talking about Know Your Retirement, healthcare costs. With a new national healthcare program that's going to go into effect next year, you know, trying to guess and get through this could be a big mistake. So on July 30th, 2013, which is a Tuesday, from 6 to 8 at the Hayworth Inn and Conference Center, we are hosting, Cooley Godfrey is hosting a healthcare cost workshop. And our guest speaker is going to be Stacy Kampheis from the insurance group. And she's going to be talking about what to expect with the new national healthcare program, what choices are going to be out there, what you need to do beforehand to prepare for this, what does this mean for Medicare, Medicaid. She's going to answer all those questions. So if you want to attend, please call our office at 931-1223. And this is dealing with the new national healthcare. Stacy Kampheis is going to be there. This is July 30th and from 6 to 8. You need to call. You need to make reservations for this workshop. The number to call is 931-1223, extension 4, and leave your name and number and talk to Janet, and she will get back to you with all the details.
No, it's going to be a good workshop. I mean, this is really going to fit, Kerry, for those people who are planning on retiring at 62. You're not to Medicare. That's three more years. What does the new Obamacare, what's that going to do to your health care costs? I was looking today that could up at $4,000 to $5,000
a year.
A year.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be making those decisions to retire early if you don't know what's going to happen to Obamacare. This is a great, you know, or you're 59 or 58 or 64. This is a, you know, or you're already in Medicare. This is going to talk about you as well. So healthcare update, how can it affect you? What are some of the big mistakes people could be making? Again, that's July 30th. It's a Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m., Hayworth Inn and Conference Center, which is on Hope's campus. Call us, 616-931-1223, extension 4, and we'll get you on that list. You got to make a reservation.
Yes, you do. And, hey, today we're talking, our last segment here, we're talking about the inheritance conversation that you need to have with your kids, how to go about that, how to approach it, and it's a very important topic that you need to cover with your kids. You know, how to talk with your adult kids about their inheritance, how to pass on values. You know, you want to help the family avoid, you know, strife down the road. You want to hold key conversations about the estate plan to help get through this. And this is just going to make life easier for those that inherit this money.
Well, lots of fun. The family plans that I've had, Kerry, we sat down with both children and grandchildren. And these are people who are, that really get it. So, you know, we've had grandparents set up 529s for grandchildren. That's a college account where they are actually going, they are putting monthly in their grandchildren's accounts every month. They're filling up or donating to children and grandchildren's Roth IRAs. Sometimes, in some cases, they're filling them up. And sometimes they're giving up to $5,000 a month away, up to, because that's the biggest ones I've had. $5,000 they're donating to their children and grandchildren in 529s and in Roth IRAs to children and grandchildren. And they do this, and their account keeps on going up. Well, you know, that's so it gives their kids a philanthropic idea of mom and dad wants to make sure that they're spreading the wealth to us, our grandchildren. It sets the base for what's expected of them when they get this. Mm-hmm. It's really renting. I always tell people, you know, let's make the pot grow bigger and rent the money. Because if you think of foundations, you know, there's a great one here in Holland Zealand Foundation. There's a great one in Grand Rapids. There's really a great one in Kalamazoo. But all they do is spend the interest. That's all they do. And the pot keeps on getting bigger, and they just spend the interest, which keeps on getting bigger. So, you know, it's to set goals for family and to talk to them of how you expect to give your money to them. Sometimes there's strings attached to it saying that, you know, I'm going to put money in your retirement account, but if you touch it and spend it before retirement, I'm not putting any more money in your account. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some parameters, but lots of stuff to talk about. Sometimes to the kids, it's introducing them to the things that we talked about, Kerry, making sure that they have certain things in their will, trust, medical health care directive, power of attorney. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the kids don't have these documents done, and they should.
Yeah, and
they should.
As parents, you can help your kids with, you know, starting that. You know, unfortunately, you know, Jack, most parents, you know, in today's age, you know, usually cause more havoc because they don't talk about it, which it, I mean, money. And, you know, you need to set up a time to chat, or a lot of times parents go, we'll chat about it later, or, you know, there's too many families, money is a dirty word, and that's still pretty true today that that would be the majority out there. Where we need to encourage, as financial planners, we encourage people to change that, to, you know, change that with their kids, to change it with their own parents, and start this conversation early enough on so that there isn't chaos or problems when mom and dad die and pass away and pass on the wealth. Because if you do this the right way, one of the things that you can do is pass on wealth, and you can create wealth. It's not that we're saying we want to create multi-billionaires. We're just saying there are smart ways to pass on money tax efficiently and continue to have this wealth grow and pass it on from generation to generation to generation. And this is how the families of the Rockefellers, the Fords, you know, you think of Bush's,
Kennedys,
this is how they're doing it. And there are great plans out there, but it started with them of having a conversation and having a plan.
Yeah, I mean, here's another good one, Kerry. You know, I've made sure that all of my five kids know how to do taxes. Because as soon as they turned 16, 17, I said, you're on your own doing your taxes. Well, Dad, well, I helped them. You know, you can go to TurboTax, and it'll do a very simple tax form for them. So they got in the mode of knowing what interest, dividends, where you put that on the form, making donations to IRAs, making donations to 401s, where you put that on the form, what's tax deferral, what's tax free, and they get a sense of. And, you know, this last year I had a session with my son who is, you know, his taxes are complicated now because he has multiple corporations with his wife. His wife's a doctor. And I said, you need to get help now. And he goes, yeah, I realize that because taxes, I've screwed them up twice. And, you know, you learn by it. You mm-hmm. learn by it. That's what you want somebody to learn. But they're too complicated. You know, Kerry, you and I could not do our taxes because they're complicated because we have a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so helping your kids get introduced to the right people. Because sometimes you want to get with the right tax preparer and you want to get with the right attorney that gets the family and the family dynamic. So there is some sense of having all of you having the same CPA
mm-hmm.
and the CPA knowing all the family.
Yeah.
So it makes
yeah.
sense.
Oh, it does. It does. You know, I'm thinking about another story here recently that I had sisters come into the office and mom and dad had passed away. And one of the important things I encouraged them to do is to the trust, the will, everything was in good order. There was a few things that were left out of the trust, which were very minor, but things were all over the place. I mean, at multiple firms and banks. But we sat down as a family with the people that were inheriting the money. So the sister that was executor, we got together in our office with the other family members and we went through how and what to expect and time frames so that there was no confusion during the process of how this money was going to transition or move over from mom and dad to the sons and daughters. And it was a great meeting. It was after mom and dad had passed away, but it was very helpful that these kids understood how they were going to receive the money.
And it's always good to have a book put together for your kids and your grandchildren. You can direct them to our office, or you can direct them to your other financial planner's office or a CPA to start getting down the logic of, this is the logic when you get mom and dad's IRA. When spouses inherit IRAs, it makes it their own. So I die, my wife gets my IRA, and it's her own. Once it goes from a spouse-husband-wife relationship down the chain to the kids or grandkids, they now need to know if this is a Roth or an IRA. But in some situations, Kerry, they just take the money out and they don't know that they can grow this money. You have to have it out by the age of 111. So mom and dad die at, say, 80. Well, you got another 30 years to take mom and dad's money out. That's a long time.
It is. That is a real long time.
So, you know, you just have to know the rules. Carrie and I know the rules for inheritance. We know the rules for taking money out of IRAs in a decedent IRA or a decedent Roth IRA, whether you take a minimum distribution or you can take more than the minimum distribution in a decedent, because there's different rules. But it's good to have a family conversation about how you're inheriting this money and what are the ramifications. I had one person said, Well, Jack, don't you want me to spend any of this money? I go, well, absolutely I do, but I don't want you to take it all out in a lump sum, because I show the tax brackets to say, here's what happens to you, customer A, and you, customer B, if you take this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, wow, that's a big tax bite.
That is, and now by strategically planning, you know, and I think of another example with a spouse inheriting an IRA. And let's say they're under 59 and a half, the spouse that inherits IRA. There's a couple options that the spouse has. They can move it to their own IRA, but then they're taking away the opportunity that they could draw money out without penalty, where the spouse could move it to an inherited IRA and could draw money off of that if that's something that is needed in the spouse's case to help fund living expenses. So it depends on the age, the strategy behind it, what's the best strategy here. You know, it's so important to sit down with a planner to do this in the right way. So many people we see just say, well, mom and dad passed away, here's their IRAs, we're cashing in, we're giving cash to everybody. Well, that isn't always the best choice, because you can make this money stretch out and last a lot longer.
No, you really can. So, you know, our show today is talking about the inheritance conversation that you need to have with your brother, your sister, your mom, and your dad, your grandpa and grandma, and help them convey to those people above them, that would be their parents or grandparents, and below them, the inheritance conversation. And again, we do this as a matter of helping the family. And so, you know, we'd like to help you if you'd like us to, you know, have a family meeting that we could direct. You know, call our office at 616-931-1223, extension 4. Jan will get you some information, and we'll come to your house and do a family meeting for you.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing we need to let listeners know, you know, we talked about it here a little bit earlier, is our healthcare workshop where Stacy Kampheis from the Insurance Group will be speaking on July 30th about the new national healthcare program. And it's something very important. We expect seating will be full, so you need to call for your reservation. That reservation number is 931-1223. That's 931-1223, extension 4. And speak with Janet, and we'll put your name on the list. And that date is July 30th from 6 to 8. Also, we need to let our listeners know the show has been brought to you by Borman Law Offices. And, you know, Mary Jo Borman is an estate planning attorney located in our building at 123 East Main in downtown Zeeland. And you can contact her at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at www.bormanlaw.com.
Carrie, our next week's show is going to be on Guide to the Markets. That's going to be July 13th. And we'll be live at that time. So please listen, Guide to the Markets. That'll be a review of the markets for the first 6 months of the year. So you've been listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Jack Godfrey.
And Carrie Cooley. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Jack Godfrey and Carrie Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Be sure to join us next Saturday at the same time for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.